And the Apostles' Creed, which we often say, usually at least once or twice a month, we say, I believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. But when we say the communion of saints, what do we really mean? Who are the saints? Often, when we hear about saints, we think of the Catholic saints, like Mother Teresa, Saint Francis. And often, we might think that saints are these superhuman people, holier than thou, who are better than us somehow. When we hear about saints, we assume that they are very pious people. We couldn't possibly be saints, more like sinners. But what if I were to tell you that we are saints, all of those who proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord? What if I were to tell you that according to Martin Luther, one of the prerequisites to being a saint is also to be a sinner? Today we're going to explore this phrase, the communion of the saints. So let us read our scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and in knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you are waiting for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When someone does something really nice, I will often exclaim, "You are a saint." And I must admit, I'm using the word saint wrong, because the communion of saints is not about being good or getting everything perfectly right. You don't have to have a halo above your head all the time to be considered part of the communion of saints. Paul, both here and throughout his writings, never uses saint singularly. He only refers to saints. To be sanctified is to be holy, to be set apart together as a new people, a new society, who proclaims Jesus Christ is Lord. We are not a saint on our own. We are saints because we believe and trust in Jesus, and that puts us in a whole new group. We don't act saintly like the communion of saints on our own. We need each other. We need teams, as Luann said. The Corinthians didn't always act like saints, like God's community. Paul is writing them because he knows there are divisions and factions and disagreements among them. Usually, when I'm not happy with someone's behavior, I launch into my complaints and how they should change. But here, Paul begins his letter by first sharing his gratitude. What's funny is that Paul is grateful for the Corinthians' gifts. Normally, we aren't grateful for somebody else's gifts, are we? Usually, we're jealous of what others have or judging what they just got. What is also strange is that we know that the Corinthians are divided. But here, Paul is talking about how great the community's gifts are. You would think he would be focused on what they're lacking, unity. But here, he's focused on their gifts. the gifts God has given them. He's saying what he hopes they will be, what they can and are, but not are not always. It's like telling your child, you are smart, you are kind, you are important, even when they aren't always smart, kind, or important. You tell them these things so that they will believe it and in turn become good, kind, and important. You will it into being with your words. Here at the beginning of this letter, Paul reminds the Corinthians of their calling to be saints with all of those who believe throughout the world. Many of the Corinthians' disagreements were about spiritual gifts and whose were better. And as we all know, we all fall short. And so Paul does something brilliant. He tells them that together they are not lacking in any spiritual gift. What they do not have, others have. And it is together that they can do God's will. He tells them, without directly saying it, stop it, guys. You are better than this. You need each other. Together, you are called to be saints. Together, you are enriched in Christ Jesus. Together, the testimony of Jesus is stronger. Later, Paul will develop this image through the body of Christ. The hand and the head need each other to be the body. So it is with us. We need each other. We need all the spiritual gifts in this place to live out our calling to be God's saints. We need everyone to be on our team. So you might be thinking, great, we are all saints. We are saints because we have faith in Jesus. Awesome. We need each other. We need each other to work together. And we do a pretty good job of that. So our job is over. I don't need to listen to the rest of this sermon. Let's go home. It's true that we are justified by God's faith alone. But faith and God's faithfulness should lead us to action. We cannot separate our faith from our living. There's no such thing as a Christian's faith without living a Christian life. Sanctification is all about how we become God's people. To be God's saints, to be sanctified, we have to live like we are God's people. Bonhoeffer, one of my favorite theologians, often talked about cheap grace. He describes cheap grace as grace without price, grace without cost. The essence of grace, we suppose, is that the account has been paid in advance, and because it has been paid, everything can be had for nothing. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a person will go and sell all that they have. It is the pearl of great price to buy which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is a kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ, at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it cost a person her life. And it is grace because it gives a person the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it costs God the life of his Son. Ye were bought at a price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace, because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. I think Bonhoeffer here is telling us what it means to be part of the communion of saints. Being part of the saints isn't easy. It's going to cost us something. It's not a social club with benefits. It requires us to sacrifice our money, our time, our lives, and our very selves for the sake of others. It requires us to follow Jesus, and that has always been hard. To be a part of the communion of saints means that we cannot follow Christ on our own. We must work together, even with people that we do not understand or like or have much in common with. To be a part of the saints means that we cannot become complacent in our faith. We must constantly ask, am I being challenged? Am I growing? Am I using all of God's gifts? To be a part of the communion of saints means that we are becoming something, not that we are already there. We have much more to work on. Whether we are 9 or 99, to be a part of the communion of saints means that we are set apart, not because we are special, but to fulfill God's purpose, to do God's work, to be the body and the world. In our baptism, God chooses us. God calls us his children. But it takes a lifetime to learn how to live as God's child. It might seem like an impossible task, and on our own, it would be. That's why we have the communion of saints. That's why we don't rely on our own abilities, our own faithfulness. We trust and rely on God's faithfulness. We work to be God's saints in gratitude because God is faithful. In the end, we are not blameless or perfect because of who we are. We are indeed sinners. But on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are blameless and strengthened because Christ has already paid for our sins. On this day, as we celebrate All Saints Day, we remember all of those saints, all of those followers of Christ who have gone before us. They were not perfect. They were human and sinners. But they are indeed saints because of Christ, because God is faithful and has lifted them up and helped them to believe and live as Christians. They had various gifts. Maybe they used those gifts to teach you in Sunday school. Maybe they use their gifts to raise you. Maybe they use their gifts to give you legal advice, or listen to you, or pray for you, or love you, or make you laugh. As we lift up their names, we remember them in all of their goodness and in all of their flaws. And we remember how God uses each and every one of us to fulfill God's purpose in God's world. And as we remember them, maybe we can sing in our hearts one of my favorite songs about saints, the old gospel song, "When the Saints Go Marching In." Maybe you'll sing it with me. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, how I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Friends, may our lives be lived in gratitude for all that God has done for us. We are indeed God's saints and in God's number. So let us go marching out into the world to live together as God's saints. Amen.